All right, thank you. I would like to tell you a little story. I call this story The Parable of the Husband. I think it's going to come. So we're in Exodus 19. If you weren't with us last week, we're getting prepared for the Ten Commandments, and God's preparing the people. They're exiting from Egypt. They've been gone for 3 months, and they're going to enter the Promised Land. All right, we don't have the parable of the husband. I see. Oh, here we go. Okay. We do have an intern, and I thought he needs something productive to do, so I had him help me with this. I'm sure there's nothing better in his day. So here's the parable of the husband. So one day I'm in my office, and I'm working away, and I'm just getting so much work done, and things are great, when suddenly I get a text from my wife, Jerrion, and the text says this. It says, ask me, hey, can you pick up some milk from the store for me? And of course, I don't have to even talk about it. Of course, you can count on me. I'm her husband, so I text back, okay. And then she texts me again, are you really going to remember? Do you need a reminder? And I say, don't worry. You know, I got this. How hard can this be to remember a gallon of milk? When you're a husband like me, you do everything right. Then I go back to work, you know, I get some more things done, and then it's around that time. So then I close up my office. The day is over. I get in my car, and I'm driving home, and I've almost forgot everything about it. And I get all the way to 75th, and I'm just about past Walmart, and it occurs to me, oh, yeah, being the loving husband that I am, my wife needed something for me. So I pull into the parking lot at Walmart and begin to walk in, and just when I walk in, I pick out a cart. Not one that, like, has the wheel that does the thing. You need one that, like, you need four good wheels. And then I stopped to think, like, I know my wife wanted one of those dairy products. I knew, so I thought, now what is she? And then I remembered. I know. I know exactly what she needs. And so the whole way home, I felt pretty proud of myself. I had picked up something for my wife. When I got home, I said, honey, I got exactly what you told me. Here it is. And she says back to me, she says, where's the milk? And I said, oh, I'm pretty sure you asked for ice cream. I don't think I can get that wrong. And she says back to me, were you paying attention to the text that I sent you? Were you really focused on what I said? And then I said, hey, I know the law pretty well. I'd like to make that one phone call right now. So I said, and that is the end. All right. So this is a little parable about listening and paying attention when someone talks to you. I don't know why I would use husbands in this context, but somehow I managed to pick that. And this is Israel. They have to be prepared to hear what the Lord has to say to them. So chapter 19, we have the Ten Commandments. Okay, God has a special covenant for his people. But that's chapter 20. In chapter 19, he's preparing them to listen. Okay, you know, many times in life, we have to listen. We have to be prepared. You know, God often has important things to say to us. God has important things to say to his people, okay? And he wants to share and communicate with things, life-changing truths, right? The word of God, it's going to be something that will be life-changing for the people that hear it. And it has a chance of potentially changing their entire future and future generations, okay? God has an important message. The question is, are they listening? Are they prepared to receive that? Did they prepare themselves in advance, right? Because if I don't prepare myself, I'm going to forget basic things, okay? So Israel has to decide, is this going to go in one ear and out the other? Or is this really going to be something that they take hold of? Is this something that will be life-changing for them? You know, it's the same for us. Are we open to what God's word has to say to us? Are we prepared? Do we take God's word seriously? And that's what we have to learn from the lesson today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word that guides us. We thank you for your word that gives us direction. Lord, I pray that even now, we would make the decision to be alert and to pay attention. Lord, help us to be focused on what you have to say to us, Lord. We thank you for the words that give us life. May we never take them lightly. Lord, we pray that you'd bless the service, Lord. May it be an encouragement to everyone that's here. Strengthen believers, Lord, and perhaps some are struggling, that you give them help. Help them to see the glimmer of your love, even in small ways today, and let them know that you haven't forgot about them. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as I mentioned before, Israel had left Egypt. They had been gone about 3 months now. They had been traveling. A lot has happened in those 3 months. They've seen how God has worked. And so you have them, for 3 months they travel to Mount Sinai, and then they'll be at the foot of this mountain. They'll be camped for 11 months or until about Numbers chapter 10. They'll be here at the mountain. So they go from traveling to being stationary. God wants them to stop and focus on the direction that he has given them. And so we read last time, I'm going to read for you Exodus 19:5. It says, we should have a slide for this, Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So we see the if-then language here. This is legalese. This is God. He's making a covenant with them. Okay, this is kind of a little bit of the verse that kind of lays out that covenant. So these are God's chosen people. We mentioned he wants to make them a peculiar people. We talked about how God's worked in Israel even to this day. They stand out among other nations, but he wants to make a special agreement with them. So before this, we had the Abrahamic covenant, and God worked with the family. Okay, but now he's going to transition from family rules to nation and having formalized structures of government. Okay, so we have the Mosaic covenant. And that's what we have laid out for us. And so God wants them to be prepared for these commands he's about to give. Now, there are many truths that we assume about this passage. Unfortunately, in our world today, basic truths can't be shared, sadly. Things that should be normal and common cannot be shared in our society. We live in a post-truth society. People have individual truths. Everyone has their own little truth that they believe. And thus, we have all kinds of chaos and problems, disagree. We can't even have a basic conversation, unfortunately. And so I want to get to kind of a base thing that I'm assuming as I preach this message. And that is this. A knowable God will speak truth. A knowable God will speak truth. Our society struggles. Is there truth? Is there right and wrong? Does God exist? If he does exist, who is this God? Is it a plant? You know, who knows? Is it an animal? People have no idea. And this is really a wrong view of God. We see from Scripture that there is a real God who can be defined, who can be explained, someone that we can know, and someone that speaks in propositional truth that we can comprehend and believe. You know, the Hindus have an old story they tell of six blind men. And the six blind men stumble on an elephant, and they're all touching the elephant, and they all have a different impression of that elephant. And the one man grabs the tail, and he says, "This elephant? This is like a rope. That's all this elephant is. It's a rope." And someone else touches the middle of it and says, "It's just like a wall." And someone touches a leg, and they say, "You know, this is a pillar." And on it goes. Each one of them has a different part of the elephant they touch, and they all say something. And this is kind of the way the Hindu story goes, is that we're all kind of blind. We stumble around for God. You all have different impressions of him. Who's to say who's right? Who's to say who's wrong? You know, just relax and don't worry. It's kind of the statement. Well, you could say that we're all blind. We're blinded by sin. But where they go wrong is, in our story, God actually speaks. The elephant doesn't talk, but God does talk, and he gives us his word. And he says, you know, "Hey, I'm an elephant," okay? Everyone knows what this is. And so I do believe that God is definable, that God does speak truth, that truth does exist. This is where I find my source of truth. This is the greatest source to know who God is and what he believes and what he says, and I hope that that's where you're coming from as well. But in this message, I'd like to highlight two truths from this passage about preparing to hear from God. Two truths. Now, technically, it's only one truth, but for the sake of simplicity, I can't just preach a one-point message. That would be disappointing, right? You came all this way. So I'll make it sound like it's really two, but it's really two sides of the same coin. I'll just say that, I'll just disclaimer up front here. But we're going to look at true truths about hearing from God. Here's truth number one. We should never approach God with a casual attitude. We should never, 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 never approach God with a casual attitude. You know, Moses has to go to the people 3 days before. And what does he do? He sanctifies. They have washing. They have cleansing. This is several million people. There's a limited supply of water. Maybe it took all 3 days to get everyone to washed up and clean. But this was a ceremonial act to show where their heart was and to prepare them mentally. By washing and cleansing and preparing, They were setting themselves up to hear what God had to say. Also, they set a perimeter about the mountain, okay? You can't just wander into what God is doing. There's a strict wall. There's a perimeter around it. Anything that crossed that was in danger of death. This is something to be taken very seriously. This is something that's very, very important, okay? And this sends a message. God isn't just our buddy. We can't just hang out with him, okay? God is a great God, and it's someone that we should take very seriously. You know, in today's world, I don't have to tell you this, but many take the worship of God very casually. And their attitudes are, you know, ho-hum and who cares. And maybe they're careless. Maybe it's just something they do if they have time. Maybe they're kind of apathetic to the preaching of God's word. Maybe the God's word is something they kind of get to when they have a chance. But there's other things that are more exciting to them. And they find that are more important. You know, today I think being flippant is kind of a mark of being cool or fun, right? Oh, this over here, you know, who cares? Or I hear people talking about God, you know, the old man upstairs. You know, they'll give an account for saying those things. And to treat God like why bother, why care? You know, this is something that God takes very seriously. And if we don't take God seriously, we're not going to take his word seriously, are we? Because we're going to say, well, he's not a big deal. His words aren't a big deal. And his words give life. And so we should treat it with the reverence and respect that it deserves. You know, the way some people present God, he's just like a slightly better version of us. You know, he has bad days, you have bad days. You know, and in ancient times they had different deities, and the deities would be very flawed, and they would say, the people you worship are just like you. You have flaws, they have flaws. What's the difference? But this is completely wrong. God isn't just a better version of you or I. God is a whole different category. He's completely separate from his creation. He's transcendent. He's above. Okay, he's in a different category. He created me. I'm his creation. I couldn't create something else, right? And so we see that God is not just different than us. God is in a different category. He's wholly other. And this is illustrated in the passage, right? That they should treat him with the respect that he deserves. You know, God is holy. God is separate from sin. And if we realize how God is separate from sin, then we should have that same attitude in approaching him. Well, if we realize that sin is a big deal to him and sin is offensive to him, we should be fleeing sin. We should take approaching him with a sense of seriousness. And God, here he is. He's up on this mountain. Why is he up? Right? Because he's greater than the people. And they need to recognize that. I realize that when they worship him. You know, some places, some spaces in life are sacred. And some things in life are very serious. Now, you know me, I love to tell jokes. I love all kinds of jokes. I spent a lot of time on those pictures that took about 30 seconds. I love laughing. I love having fun. I think there's a place for that. But there's some things that are just, they're not funny at all. They're very serious. And we need to realize that. You know, so our school takes a senior trip, and some years they go over to Europe when we can, right? This past year we went to Colorado. We had a great time, but in the past years we've gone over to Europe, and we go to different events. The kids laugh, ha, ha, ha. They take pictures with their cell phones, and on one of the last days we had, we took the kids to Dachau prison camp in Germany, and that's the place where the Holocaust happened, and they have all kinds of displays of people that died, and they have the rooms with the gas chambers and the places where they disposed of bodies. And they have pictures where they did human experiments and all kinds of things. And the seniors went from ha, 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 ha to seeing that. Nobody was laughing. Nobody was having fun. It wasn't something that was an enjoyable experience. It's very sobering to see the horrific things that happened during the Holocaust, right? And, you know, some things in life are sacred and should be treated with the respect that they deserve, and that's one place. And I hope that that's your attitude towards the things of God, and that, life, we can have fun, we can enjoy the life that God gives us, but there are some things that are not really funny at all and deserve our full attention and deserve a attitude of reverence and respect as we approach it. And, I hope that you treat the things of God seriously, things that are sacred. I hope that this, you know, reading your Bible is not just something you do if you remember. You know, I might get in it at the end of my day. Who knows? You know, after the day's over, maybe I should have prayed. I had all those problems. Well, after the fact, you're going to pray. Well, I mean, that's That's not treating it as a priority, right? That's something that's kind of at the end of your list. Even coming to church, you know, is this the thing you do if nothing else is more exciting? Is this something that you prepare for? Is it a great idea to stay up all night on Saturday night, you know, binge watching seasons of whatever useless show, and then you come into church all exhausted? Is this really treating church like it's something important and serious? I hope that it is. And I, you know, just like Israel needed to have respect when they approached God and heard from God, we need to have respect too. We need to prepare ourselves. If God's going to speak to us and God has a message for us, we should be ready to receive that, okay? We should clear out what other distractions are going on. I try to just have Sunday stuff on Sunday, and I have stuff I worry about the other 6 days. But if I can possibly help it, I'll push it on those other 6 days, and then I can just focus on one thing. And you know what? When that's your attitude, you'll get a lot more out of this church, won't you? And you'll get a lot more out of your Bible if that's really a priority. And you know, prayer will really make a difference. Okay? So, first truth from our passage is importance that we have a serious attitude. We take the Lord seriously. We're not just flippant. We're not just casual. It's not just an afterthought, but that we really treat the Lord with the respect that he deserves. All right, we're already on to point number two. Point number two, truth number two, we must recognize God's greatness. We must recognize God's greatness. So here comes Moses. He comes down from the mountain. He tells the elders, you know, the Lord wants to speak to you. The Lord wants you to give you a covenant. Will you follow? They're like, oh, yeah, we'll do it. Now, spoiler alert, they didn't really. In a few chapters away here, there'll be a golden calf coming up. So they're like, okay. But they should have taken it more seriously. He tells them to sanctify themselves. Remember, we talked about this. He tells them to refrain from marital relations. The Bible talks about how people can cease from that closeness for a time of prayer and focusing on the Lord. He wants them to be focused. Not that there's anything wrong with being married, but that's not the priority at that moment, okay? It's focusing on what the Lord has to say. And then they wait 3 days, and then the Lord comes down on the mountain. And when God comes, he really makes a statement. There's lightning and thundering. You know, it talks about the throne of God, and there's lightning and thunder at the throne of God. And God appears. He's like a fire, and he's on top of the mountain, and there's fire coming up. And it says several times there's just smoke billowing out of the mountain like a furnace. There's just smoke everywhere. Just imagine the sight that people are coming up close. There's a perimeter to keep them back, but they want to see, you know, what's up there. They're curious. It says several times, you know, keep people back. They're going to want to sneak up there. I don't know if they're going to take a picture or what, but they're like, what is happening, right? They're seeing the greatness of God. When he gets there, there's a heavenly blast of a trumpet. It says it several times. It's extremely loud. You know, there's places in Scripture where it talks about the voice of God, and God's voice is, at some point, it compares it to a trumpet. And, you know, other places, it refers to God's voice. God's voice is like lightning, the way that it sounds. Now, what does that all mean? I'm not entirely sure. But I'm sure it's pretty amazing, right, when you experience it. And, you know, we really have a hard time interpreting exactly how that works in everyday life, because we've never seen these things of God ourselves. Now, when we do hear God's voice, I'm sure it'll remind us of lightning, it'll remind us of a trumpet, but I'm going to guess it'll go beyond anything that we've ever experienced. It'll be fulfillment in a greater way than we can even imagine, the greatness of God. You know, being in God's presence, it's really a scary thing when you think about the holiness and greatness of God. You know, when Peter realized that Christ was so holy and pure, you know, for the first time, Peter fell down and said, just leave me. I feel so sinful and worthless. And I think that's how we'll feel, is that the greatness of God is beyond us. You know, Christ has to wipe away every tear so we can get close to him when we realize how sinful we are. But God is so far above what we can imagine and comprehend. Okay, the Bible uses words that we can understand, and it will be those things, but it'll be fulfilled in such a great way, beyond what we expect. So God is not like us. God appears in fire. And he's surrounded by smoke. The average person can't see him. He's greater than the average person can understand. And so God will come down. And when they go to speak to God, what do? They have to go up. They go up in a mountain. And the symbolism is God is above them. Okay, God is over us. We should never talk down to God. Okay, God has to condescend to us. Now, not condescend as in be rude. We think of condescend. That person's condescending. It's not that. is that he has to simplify things, right, so that we can understand. And he has to bring things down to our level. You know, I'm so thankful for Christ. You know, God is so holy. God is so pure. God is beyond what we can even imagine. And this is, God is bigger than we can comprehend. And this is why I had to send Christ. Because Christ was God in the flesh. Christ was God in a way that we could comprehend, right? We could physically see. Now, Christ voluntarily didn't use all of his attributes that he could have used. He chose to limit himself to the human form. He had limitations like you and I. He was hungry. He was tired. He got frustrated. I fear he felt frustration. He was tempted in every point like we were, except without sin. But we see Christ, we can understand God. And he even said this, you know, if you know me, you know the Father. We're really the same thing. And so God sent us Christ, who lived a sinless life, died on the cross, offers salvation to all. He is the way to God. We can accept him by faith, not by our own merits, and have the forgiveness of God, because he was God in flesh. God was too big for us to comprehend, and this is why he sent Christ. We can comprehend Christ. And so I'm thankful for this. So God is not like us. And you know, the Bible always talks about God coming down to man. It talks about in Genesis how the people thought they could be like God. We'll be just like God. And so they will build the Tower of Babel. And this is a great tower. And they think, we're going to go up in the sky. We'll go to where the clouds are, and we'll be able to see God. And so they build this great tower, and they're going to investigate God as if God was just waiting above the clouds to be discovered. I don't know. We still send out telescopes, and we're always finding new things. And we're like, we're going to figure this out one day. Good luck. That's not going to happen. God is bigger than we can ever imagine or understand. And so the Tower of Babel's built, and what does it say in Genesis? God came down to see the tower. Man's greatest effort, man at its highest point, and what does God do? God has to condescend to even see that tower. What's man doing down there? What are they up to today? And what happens? He divides the people because of their rebellion, their sin. He divides the languages, and man heads into opposite directions, sadly, when they united to oppose God. Question for you. Do you think of God as greater than yourself? Do you think of his word as something that's authoritative? God's word will tell me what to do. God's word will tell me what to think. Do you recognize his greatness? If we recognize God and we really think about him, what's going to happen? It's going to affect the way we face things that are difficult and scary, right? I think about a young shepherd boy named David. We see all those rich psalms that he wrote on worshiping God. I'm going to guess he must have written some of them when he was a teenager. I'm guessing he got busier as he became king. But he really understood the greatness of God, and that affected how he acted. You know, the way he thought transformed his life. Renewing his mind, considering God's word, what happened? That changed who he was. And as he went out and as he faced difficulty and hardship, that thought changed who he was. And I hope that that's where your thoughts are, okay? We all have scary things that happen to us. All of us at times, you know, the initial reaction, all of us, we all want to panic. We all want to be afraid. That's us, right? We're dust. We're clay. We're nothing special. And this is why we have to remind ourselves, you know, what is God doing? And what is God trying to teach me? And, you know, I'm going to stop and pray. I'm not going to react, right? I'm not going to react back to the situation. I'm not going to act like God isn't there. I'm going to act like he is there. And I'm going to choose to have the right spirit, trusting that God is who he says he is and that he's great. You know, oftentimes when hard things happen, you have little glimmers of God's love in your life, right? Little things remind you, okay, here's God's goodness. Even in this hard situation, here's something I can grasp onto. Or here's a little token that God has given me that I can keep going. How often does he give us something little to hang on to? Just to remind us that he's still there and that he still loves us. Well, we're at the conclusion already here. In conclusion, Israel needed to prepare to hear what God had to say to them. They needed to stop and consider what God says. We're the same way. We have all kinds of things in our lives. We can be busy. We need to stop and reflect on what is God trying to say to us. You know, sometimes we take God for granted. You know, he'll be fine whatever I do, whatever I say, it'll be okay. You know, C.S. Lewis writes about God. He said, our God is not a tame lion. We shouldn't just take God for granted. God is a real God of judgment. And God is someone that we should take with great seriousness. God deserves better than our leftovers. He deserves our best. I think about Uzzah. Remember when David's transporting the ark and it starts to fall off the cart because they put it on a cart. They didn't really pay attention to what God had said, much like some husbands. I won't name anyone in particular. Sometimes husbands don't pay attention. This is the way they were. Okay, yeah, I'll do it. It'll be fine. The ark begins to slide off the cart. Uzzah puts his hand up and he's struck dead by God. He took the things of God casually. He didn't really follow what he was supposed to do. And so he was judged for that. People had a hard time comprehending. But this is truly God who's worthy of our praise. I'd like to conclude with a teenage boy. I'm going to call him Billy. And I'm going to say that he goes to our youth group. That'll help you think about this guy. So here comes Billy. And, Billy makes a decision in youth group. He's listening to one of my lessons. He's shouting out the answers like they're supposed to at the appropriate times. And he decides, I'm going to take the things of God seriously, right? And so this summer, he goes to camp. He hears the message. He decides, this year, it's going to be about God this school year. I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to take God seriously. And so Billy decides, I'm going to take Sunday seriously from now on. And so he decides, I'm going to have the right attitude. So his mom tells him to do something. He doesn't want to do it, but he says, I'm just going to bite my lip. I'm going to do it. I'm going to have a good attitude. And it's Saturday. His friends are like, hey, come on over. We'll stay up late. We'll play NASCAR racing games on the Xbox. And so Billy says, no, I can't stay up too late. Tomorrow's Sunday. So he goes home. He plays a little bit of his games. And then 10 o'clock, he says, I'm going to get rest. Tomorrow's Sunday. So he turns off his gaming console, and Billy goes to sleep. And the next day, he wakes up. He takes the time to read his Bible and pray. He eats a breakfast. It's important. It's a very important part of your day, by the way. Very nutritious. Never skip breakfast. That's another message. Anyway, he gets to church. He's focused. The message begins, and his friends start to send him Instagram pictures. He's like, hey, did some cool stuff today. He's like, no, I can't do that right now. I got to focus on church. And so he turns off the Wi-Fi on his phone for a few. This is hard for teens to imagine. For over an hour, the Wi-Fi is turned off on his phone. He turns off the notifications, everything. He's just going to focus. He sits and listens to the message. He makes some notes. When it's all over, he prays and he leaves. Do you think Billy was helped by the message that Sunday? Absolutely, absolutely. Because he took it seriously, God spoke to Billy. And that was encouraging and helpful for him. And just like that can help someone like Billy, that can help you and I. If we take God seriously, if we prepare to hear from him, if we realize that he's greater than us, God's word can change our life. So that is my message for you today. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that we'd allow it to speak to us. We pray, Lord, that you would work in our lives. And Lord, strengthen us. Lord, help us to be obedient to what your word says. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to take a minute here. I'm just going to give you a chance to meet with the Lord yourself. Maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you don't know where you'd go if you were to die today. Maybe you have those questions. And we'd love to help you after the service if you could talk to us. We'd love to show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And your sins are forgiven. Christ gives this free gift of salvation. Others of you, maybe there's something in your life where you're not taking God as seriously as you should. Maybe you're not really regarding his word with respect, or maybe church is just an afterthought to you. Something you just kind of do when nothing else is going on. And maybe there's an area of your life that you're taking casually. There's a sin in your life, and you treat it like it's no big deal. But you need to recognize that, God is great, and he deserves that respect from you, and you're going to start respecting him in that way. I'm just going to give you a chance to do business with the Lord. The music's going to play for a second. If you'd like to sit there and pray, and just give that to the Lord. And I want you to have that area of your life be something that you really give to God today. Thank you.